Assemblyman Pat Burke. Assemblyman, good morning. Welcome back to Hardline.
Hey, what's up, Joe? How you doing?
Doing all right. I have no complaints, except if you want to talk air travel, that would take up the whole segment, because I have a lot of complaints on that.
Where were you?
Quick trip down to Richmond, and I didn't have one flight that wasn't delayed. So
yeah.
It's just one of those weekends. But Assemblyman, we got so much to get to, and I want to start with the big, beautiful bill. You are sounding the alarm on the state side, on the Democrat side, on the state side. What are the highlights that you want to point out to people?
Certainly. So, like, the current budget we're in, it's going to put us in a hole of $750 million. Next year, we're looking at $10.6 billion. And then just broadly looking at the cuts to, you know, 1.5 people off of healthcare in New York State, over 10 million across the country, and obviously trillions added to the national debt. And while we're doing that, we're doing massive tax cuts, permanent tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. It's a disaster, and it's why so much political pressure had to even be put on, Republicans in Congress to support it. You know, they had to go along with President Trump, but a lot of them clearly were not happy about it. So we'll work to figure out what we're going to do here, but there's no easy solutions for sure.
So when you talk about the people cut off of Medicaid, you know, if you listen to the Trump administration, they say those are able-bodied people who aren't working and illegal aliens. What is your response to that?
That's not how Medicaid works. It's not like people get a Medicaid check cut to them. So able-bodied people, by definition, don't often go to the doctors. The costs towards Medicaid are when you actually go to seek care. So if you're able-bodied and healthy, by definition, you often don't do that. The way you save money off of Medicaid is by preventing people from going to the doctors, which we all know will make people more sick. They'll have to go to hospitals where they can't be denied care. So you're going to have local hospitals, indigent care hospitals, rural hospitals taking on all of these costs. It's awful. Aside from the human moral awfulness of it, it's actually just a really stupid, bad policy that is going to hurt a lot of really important institutions. And I'll also add, it's not just Medicaid. It's Medicare as well. There's significant cuts to Medicare. They rolled back prescription drug negotiations so that drug companies will be able to be in a more advantageous and powerful position. There are so many layers and levels to how bad this thing is. It is truly shocking. I actually, the older I get, you know, I see the world in more grays, less black and white. You know, like less good guys and bad guys, and just people are complicated, things are complicated. This is bad. This is really bad, bad, bad policy.
To the able-bodied people being kicked off of Medicaid, do you think there should be some incentive for people who are, you know, who can work to get up and work? You know, that was a policy of the Clinton administration. Now I realize that was 26 years ago. But the Clinton administration, they wanted the same worker requirements. We have 8% of people at least who are able-bodied on Medicaid that don't work. Do you think it's the government's job to hold their hand, or should there be some type of incentive? If not this, what?
Well, like I said, most people, nearly all people who are on Medicaid actually do work. It's like 90, I think it's 90-something percent. So it's a bit of a misnomer, and certainly the intention is to focus on that. But listen, we're going to cut people off of healthcare to cover the tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires and corporations. Like, come on. Like, that's what we're going to talk about. You're like, sure, everyone should work. Anyone who's able-bodied should work. No one should, like, just be sitting on their couch. Of course I agree with that. Like, I've worked my whole life. Like, I work my butt off all the time. So I personally understand it as well. But, like, let's focus on the real thing. We are cutting healthcare for people. We are going to hurt hospitals. We're going to hurt all these policies to offset costs to cut taxes for millionaires and billionaires and corporations. That's what is happening.
We had Congressman Tim Kennedy on last week, and you know, the tax cut thing came up. 85% in 2017, 85% of Americans got a tax cut. That's the tax cut that will now be permanent. So when you say millionaires and billionaires, do you mean indirectly?
No. Middle class tax cuts will expire. They're not permanent. They're going to. Those are in 3 years, and then the permanent tax cuts are for over, I don't remember the exact amount, but it's it's for millionaires and billionaires and corporations.
All right, we'll have to take your word for it. Assemblyman Pat Burke, you also talked about, let's focus on the illegal immigration thing, because that's so hot, especially in New York State. It's part of this Medicaid cut in the big, beautiful bill. Where do you stand on that?
We should create a pathway to citizenship for people. People should not just be able to flout the laws of the United States. And no one should be able to do that. But we have a reality here, right? Like, there is a reason Trump was like, oh, maybe we won't hold people account on farms because we need people to farm. And why so many Republican farmers are like, hey, wait a minute. If we get rid of all these people, we're not going to be able to cultivate our food. So we clearly have a systems problem, and we need to fix that. So we need to create a pathway to citizenship for people. The idea of someone being a part of this country and a part of our community for, say, 30 years and getting nabbed, or even people who aren't here illegally getting nabbed off the street, is all fully unacceptable. Like, we need to fix a broken immigration system.
You also mentioned SNAP and the money that New York State would lose. Now, my understanding is that is if the state is over a 6% payment error. Has there been talk in Albany to lessen that, to correct that, so the state doesn't lose SNAP money, or am I understanding this incorrectly?
I don't think it's 6%. We've been trying to analyze and respond to all of this. Like, yes. So the state has to, but I believe there's like 15 or 16 states that have a threshold error. Every state has a threshold error, but we're working on that and trying to figure out like what the appropriate response is, like why that error is there. I'm not going to claim that I'm like the expert on SNAP benefits. It's just not something like I'm not on social services committee, so. I don't have full details or understanding of that, to be honest.
All right. Now, you issued a statement on Mamdani. I want to get to that. But first, I do want to talk about the mayoral election here in the city of Buffalo, the primary won by Sean Ryan. Let's be honest. He's the front runner heading into November. Your thoughts, not only on Sean Ryan's victory, but the way the primary was handled by the Erie County Democrats.
I think it was a tough race. Certainly uncomfortable, for me, having several people in that race that I know and respect, elections can get pretty ugly. I think the endorsement process was pretty open. Series of interviews, public meetings. I think some people think that it was predetermined. I don't think it was predetermined. I think in a lot of cases. These endorsements are predetermined, right? Like, this is handled behind closed doors. But I actually think this one was surprisingly open, and I think Sean ended up, performing, however the committee members voted to get their endorsement. I didn't participate in that process at all, so I was on the outside of it. So Sean Ryan won, and I think it's almost certain he'll be the next mayor of the city of Buffalo.
Do you think the things that Mayor Scanlon was handled, less than a year at mayor, and then he has his own party attacking him, do you think that was fair? Do you think it's a fair criticism of what he's handled in 8 months?
Mayor Scanlon is a good guy, and I think he did a good job under difficult circumstances. As far as the party attacking him, I didn't see that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just didn't see it. Like I said, it was a very uncomfortable race, and I just stayed neutral and had a lot of respect. And not just for those two guys, not just Sean Ryan and Chris Scanlon, but there were other people, Garnell Whitfield and Rashid Wyatt. There were a lot of good people in that race. And, there's a reason I didn't take an endorsement, because I thought, I chair the city's committee, so I'm going to have to work with whoever wins that race to actually govern. But I also thought there were just quality people with different messages, and it shook out. The people, the Democrats in the city of Buffalo, overwhelmingly chose Sean Ryan, though.
Now, this might be a ridiculous question because of the way the districts worked out, but do you have your eye on the Senate seat? Would you like to go to state Senate and take Sean Ryan's seat? Any interest in that?
No, I think, you know, getting the level of seniority I've earned over the last 7 years, and you know, getting a chairmanship on an important committee would be, I don't anticipate leaving that. It's there's too many opportunities to do important work where I'm at. I think once you go to the Senate, it's not like you keep your seniority. You would go back to the bottom. So it would take years to work my way up back to the level I'm at now. It just wouldn't make a lot of sense for me.
All right. Now, I am the New York City mayoral. You put out a statement. It's the original reason we asked you to be on today on Mamdani, someone that you have served with. Your thoughts on his election. And, you know, people are saying, well, look, he's a democratic socialist. How you interpret that and some of the plans that he has for New York City.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I've known him. We've served in this, you know, the same body for a couple of terms now. You know, nice guy. Not like, I think there were two things I was trying to say in that statement. One, I know this guy, and he's not like a hateful person. Like, I think like if you knew him, you're like, oh, this guy doesn't have personal hatred towards any group or religion or anything like that. So that was my one. That's my opinion on my interactions with him. Two, especially going on the concerns of Jewish people in New York City who are upset and are quite shocked by a large portion of Jewish people in New York City. Hey, I don't think he is anti-Semitic. I've interacted with him. I've known him for a long time now. But if he is and he carried out policies that would hurt Jewish New Yorkers or any other group, like, rest assured that, you know, as the chair of the city's committee, which holds power and can influence the cities, you know, the 62 cities of New York State, I won't let them do anything to hurt you. And so it was really, it was an attempt at a message of reassurance for them.
His view on, you know, police officers and, you know, kind of wanting to reform something that we've heard a lot over the last few years, reform police in New York City. What do you think of that idea? Is that a view you hold the same as him? Is it a little off of how you view law enforcement?
We do not hold the same views on law enforcement. I carried and got through groundbreaking law enforcement legislation this past session. That it's called the Critical Incident Bill. Essentially, state troopers, if they were involved in a critical incident, a shoot that they were, you know, required to cause some harm, that's a devastating thing for an individual. Like, no decent human being wants to hurt another person. And we had a policy, and it's a policy really across the country, that, like, essentially they go back to work. They have to use their own personal time. You know, they don't get time to, you know, get their mental health in order, take care of themselves, take care of their families on a difficult situation. So we got that done. I carried that bill through the finish line and got that done, waiting on the governor to sign it. If we could encourage her to sign that bill as soon as possible, that'd be great. But as far as Soron's policies, one, I don't know all of his policies, but generally speaking, I am encouraging him to work with the NYPD and insisting that the NYPD have a seat at the table. But the reality is, we cannot police poverty, homelessness, drug addiction. Those require other policies so that we're actually helping law enforcement, not just dumping everything on them. So I think those are my views on supporting law enforcement. And I believe, at least in part, Mamdani has those views. But if he doesn't, again, like, I'll use my committee to make sure those things are priorities for, you know, for, you know, NYPD, but every law enforcement agency in the state.
And my final question on him is obviously one that's gotten a lot of attention. It's these public grocery stores, these government-operated grocery stores. How do you think that would work in a place like New York City? And do you think that would ever work in a place like Buffalo?
Here's what I'll say. Like, I've talked to some of these, like, DSA members, and I'm like, I can't stand this. Like you dying on the hill of socialist language. It's so dumb. Like, I'm a socialist. Like, why is that identity so important to you? You know, FDR would say things like, I'm not a socialist. I reject socialism, but I believe there should be a chicken in every pot in America. Like, I don't want anyone to be hungry. Like, that's a much more reasonable position to take, in my opinion. I don't think there should be food deserts in the richest country in the world. Like, I think that's immoral. I think that's unacceptable. And if we have a system that creates that, we got to, like, government's role is to figure out how to fix that, make sure there's healthy food and accessible food for everyone. And if that's a pilot project they want to run, that seems like a pretty smart thing to do. I don't consider that socialist. I think that I consider, you know, feeding people to making sure, like, children are fed and have accessible quality food to be a reasonable function of government. So, you know, we'll see if we have food desert. We do have food deserts in Buffalo. I'm not opposed to that conversation.
All right, now Pat, I gotta ask you this. You're in politics. You run campaigns. You've run campaigns. You're going to run campaigns. You look in New York City with Mamdani, right? We hear from Eric Adams. We hear from Andrew Cuomo. We hear from Curtis Sliwa, how dangerous he is. But yet they're all staying in the race. Now, You and I can look at that and go, well, if you all stay in the race, he can win with 40% of the vote. What's the mindset of someone like an Andrew Cuomo staying in the race, knowing, well, he's just going to split the non-Mamdani votes with the other two who are running on similar, hey, we're not Mamdani platforms?
I think they're all playing chicken, right? Like, you all got people with massive egos thinking that the other guy should get out of the race. Now, who knows, like, who intercedes in that? I think it's very, very, very likely that Mamdani is going to be mayor. I think it'd be India Walton lost in a write-in campaign 4 years ago. This would be a way more significant and unlikely outcome that Mamdani doesn't win the mayoral race. Yeah, those guys, healthy egos and thinking that everyone else should drop out, and whatever their incentives or drive to do that, you know, outside of their ego, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But interesting. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, how it plays out. But I do expect Mamdani to still win.
Odds on favorite. Assemblyman Pat Burke, always appreciate your time. And I'm just gonna leave this invite out there. Starting this Wednesday, I'm going to have an elected Democrat on my weekday show, 1 o'clock, just a back and forth about the topics. If you're interested, 1 week of being the guest of the week, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Let me connect with my team and find out. Just this Wednesday, or are you just doing this every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday at 1.
Yeah, cool. We'll figure out a time and be happy to come on.
Sounds great. Always great talking to you. Thank you so much for spending some time this Sunday.
All right, take care.